B-Pod Studios.
Tonight is the debut of the Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook from 6 to 7 at the Super Buy Right of Williamstown, New Jersey, presented by 19 Crimes Wine and the Tile Shop, where pros go for exclusive savings, referral awards, and job site delivery. A man who watched every down and can extrapolate the data from yesterday's Eagle win. Brian Westbrook, Brian, what's it mean, that win yesterday?
You know what? Good afternoon, Mike. Hey, it was a win. There was always some silver lining, some things you can work on, but it was a win, and that's the most important part for our Philadelphia Eagles. It was a good start, and anytime you start a season with a W and your column, that's a good thing.
All right, we were wondering what the impact the DeSean Jackson would have. I didn't think he would have a direct impact as much as a kind of a wide-open field impact, but yesterday he stings them with two long balls.
Yeah, DeSean was awesome. And, you know, there were times last year, and we heard all the complaints about Zach Ertz getting too many targets, Carson only thinking about Zach Ertz. And I saw yesterday Carson surveying the field and finding the best matchup. And DeSean Jackson oftentimes was the best matchup. And Mike, I'll tell you this. I think that connection between Carson and DeSean, I think that's going to pay dividends for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. Now that's going to open up things for Zach Ertz a little bit more, for Nelson Aguilar just a little bit more, as well as for the running game, because defenses will be thinking about DeSean Jackson streaking down the middle of the football field.
All right, let's look at the first half. And what were your thoughts when they were kind of slogging on offense and didn't seem to find any kind of a rhythm at all?
It's funny. I was up in the box. I'm with David Akers and Freddie Mitchell and Ike Reese, and we're all saying the same thing. All the old guys, the old school guys, are saying the same thing. Well, this is what they get for not playing the guys in the preseason, not letting Carson take any reps. And you know that's what older guys say, the older players say. But I mean, I think they were rusty. I think they didn't have any rhythm. And I'll tell you this: I don't know that it was only just the players. I think Doug Peterson as a play caller didn't really have any rhythm. And I really think Doug is a good play caller, but he has to, and it takes time for him to get into the rhythm of the calls, and it takes game time for that to happen. And not having your quarterback all preseason and not really knowing what he's going to do in a game-type situation, I think that slowed him down as well.
All right, so, they weren't using Ertz early, which I thought was kind of peculiar. What was going on there where they didn't seem to have any zip? Can we attribute it to just preseason or what?
Well, I think part of it's a preseason. I think part of it has to do with Carson and what he's thinking about as far as what happened last year and everybody saying he's targeting Ertz. I also think that when you have DeSean Jackson, he presents a lot of different things. Obviously, the deep ball is there, and I think DeSean does a great job of running intermediate routes. He's a professional route runner. He does a great job of getting in and out of his breaks, and he presents something to Carson Wentz that he really hasn't had ever in his career. Torrey Smith was a straight-line, go-deep type of guy. Mike Wallace was a similar thing. DeSean Jackson can run a lot of different routes. He can help you in a lot of different ways, and I think you're going to see that relationship to continue to evolve over the course of the season. And I think Zach Ertz is still going to get his. I just think it's going to take some time to get his because right now Carson seems to have eye for DeSean Jackson.
All right. What did you think of the running back rotation?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Really?
I think that was something that I think Doug can do a better job of. I don't like Darren Sproles getting that many touches. And I'll say it like this. I loved it because he was effective. He did a great job when he got his touches. I think he's effective every time. There's no doubt in my mind that Darren Sproles can make plays. However, can he sustain that for 16 games and into the playoffs? I'm not sure. I just know that it's hard to do at an advanced age to sustain that type of workload. To me, I still would like to see even more Miles Sanders. I think he played well. He showed some explosive ability, some lateral ability right and left, some nice jump cuts. He continues to need to do a better job at his technique blocking. But I think more of Miles Sanders, a little bit less of Darren Sproles. I think Jordan Howard was okay. He looked a little slow to me. But once he gets going, he gets going. He's a load to handle once he gets going just a bit. I think he probably needs a little handle the ball a little bit more to get him going throughout the game.
You going to call your man Deuce up and let him know? How you feel?
Well, listen, if I see it, Deuce has to see it, too. I mean,
but Deuce loves himself since pro. Deuce was working him overtime.
Yeah, I know. They wanted to keep him in. And, again, this team was down. We were down 17 points. And so you want to go to the guys that you have the most experience with, the guys that you know can get it done. Darren Sproles just happens to be one of those guys. I think as the season continues, they'll have more and more confidence in Miles Sanders, and he'll replace Darren Sproles. Touches just a little bit as the season goes on.
All right, quickly, just a couple things. The cornerbacks, concerned?
Absolutely. And there's two concerns there. We didn't see very much of the pass rush early on. Obviously, that exposes our cornerbacks. And there was one play, and it may have been more than that, but one of the touchdowns, Jim Schwartz, he blitzed. He went cover zero, meaning no safety in the middle of the field.
That's the one where Rasul Douglas got beat,
He's on the outside. He just doesn't have the foot speed to keep up with fast receivers. And the kid from Ole State, he's fast. And unfortunately, to me, that's going to scare Jim Schwartz from playing those types of defenses.
Because you can't single him out.
Yeah, you have to have the foot speed. You have to have the cover corners to be able to do that. And that scares me because that changes games. They missed another one deep down the field. The score was 21-20. We may be talking about a different game here.
So that's
a concern, and I think that's one of the things, as we want him to blitz more, we have to keep in mind, the more you blitz, the more susceptible you are to the deep ball.
All right, last thing, because we've been talking about this. This is a topic of concern for people who heard about this. The Mike Scott tailgate situation where he actually got into a fight with some tailgaters, and he was wearing a Redskins jersey. I know you grew up as a Redskins guy. Was it wise for him to do that?
I support people that support their local teams. I mean, I know he loves the Washington Redskins. He grew up in that Northern Virginia area. So I don't have a problem with it. I think as fans, we have to do a better job of controlling ourselves. You're not playing the game. If you wanted to play football, go out there and play football. That's not a boxing match. Enjoy the game. Talk trash. But it should never get physical. And I'm sure liquor and alcohol has something to do with it. It should never get physical. It kind of disappoints me because I think as fans, we're over that at times. And then we get kind of pulled right back into it, and we really shouldn't have those types of things.
Listen, you're absolutely right. However, the prudent thing here is to, like, you've got to be smarter to think that something's not going to happen. And when he puts that Redskins jersey on, he's kind of looking to tweak people. And I go, you play another professional sport in this town. Why would you do something like that?
Well, I agree with that. I agree about the sports part. That kind of changes it just a little bit from the point of, listen, you play for the Sixers. Philadelphia obviously likes you enough to bring you back again this year. You probably don't need to tweak it just a bit. But again, if that's your hometown team, and let's say he grew up a Redskins fan, a football fan, that team finally comes to his new city, I can understand him wanting to support it and not thinking that he was going to go out there and have a boxing match in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, he didn't have enough intelligence work, apparently. All right. He should have known better. All right, so tonight, the big show, Brian Westbrook, the Fanatic Pro Show. Tell me what this is going to be like.
Well, I am super excited about it. It's been a long time coming. Devon Gibbons and myself will be over there in Williamstown talking football. You know, this is all about football season. It's all about talking the birds, talking some X and O's about what happened in the football game. Did you like Doug Peterson's play calls? Did you like the defensive rotation? What are we going to do without Malik Jackson? How do you feel about the secondary? All those types of things will be discussed on the show. I'm super excited.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.